Good evening and welcome to Jazz Unlimited. My name is Dennis Owsley and I'm here with the finest in jazz every Sunday night from 9 to midnight. Tonight we have a sad duty to do in the first hour, and that is to celebrate the life of ragtime pianist and scholar Trey Bertitschner, who passed away last February 22nd. We're going to hear him talk about ragtime and what he knew about the history of that district, and then we will hear some of the music of that era played by the people of that era, and then finally we will hear him with the St. Louis Ragtimers and also solo piano with his own ragtime compositions. Following the first hour of Jazz Unlimited, we will have new music, so please stay tuned following NPR News. I'm Dennis Owsley. Welcome to the first hour of Jazz Unlimited. This is our Keys and Strings Hour, and tonight we're doing a tribute to the late Trey Bertitschner, who died on February 22nd. Trey, as he said, lived a ragtime life. And we're going to hear Trey playing his own compositions. We'll hear him talking about ragtime history because he was a scholar. And that's important in music because there are too many fans that aren't scholars that write books on music and histories of music. So we'll hear him talk about the ragtime district around the turn of the century. And then we're going to hear Milton Kay play Harlem Rag, the first African-American published rag.
There's several historical factors involved. I think there was one of the main ones was the massive black migration north in 93, and a lot of people stayed here and settled in St. Louis. There was a district that developed here and just was let alone really by the city fathers, and I think this was a black area. And it was originally around Targee Street, which is long gone. It was a little street that connected Market and Clark that would run right through the middle of Kiel Auditorium. But that was the center for, let's say, early black activity in music around the 1890s, early 90s. And that moved out around Union Station, and this became the hotbed for ragtime. A lot of the piano players going and coming through town could always be assured finding a job. It's one of the places on Market or Chestnut, and that's really where ragtime grew up.
Thank you.
This is Jazz Unlimited's tribute to the late Traber Tichenor. I'm Dennis Owsley, and we started the show with Traber talking about the ragtime district in St. Louis around the turn of last century. And then we heard the first rag published by an African-American, Harlem Rag by Tom Turpin, played by Milton Kay in the 1970s. We've got the St. Louis Ragtimers and Traber Tichenor's solo piano work coming up, so please stay tuned. And now we have a number of things in this next set. The first one is Milton Kay again playing Tom Turpin's tune. This is called A Ragtime Nightmare. And then, of course, Scott Joplin, we think of as being very important in St. Louis, and Traber Tichenor will describe Scott Joplin. And then we will hear the Maple Leaf Rag played by Scott Joplin on a piano roll recorded in 1899. Then we'll have Traber Tichenor talking about a legend that happened around that time in the Ragtime District, the Frankie and Johnny legend, and it was not just a legend, it was true. And finally, a piano roll by the name of American Beauty Rag, and it is done by pianist Joseph Lamb, and that was recorded in 1914.
Scott Joplin, of course, was here, legend says, as early as 1885. But Joplin did not move here until 1900. Turpin was published as early as 1897. In fact, his first rag was the first black rag to be published nationally, called the Harlem Rag. It was published in St. Louis here. And Joplin was published in 1899 in Sedalia, and then he and publisher Stark moved here in 1900, and this became the center for classic ragtime. Thank you. it's sort of agreed that that tune was an ancient imported tune, you know, from Europe someplace, but it was adapted here and it became the ballad. The legend, a St. Louis legend, says that a piano player by the name of Dooley picked up on a local homicide case, and that Frankie and Johnny case in 1899. And that he created it, but this is a legend, of course. But it's true that it did become famous from here. And I think the first publication of the tune was around 1914. Well, there seems to have been just general apathy about it. The city fathers just didn't seem to get too involved with it. There was one priest down on a church at 16th and Pine, Father Coffey, who became very vocal about the district, and he succeeded in helping get a law passed called the Newbery Law in the early 90s. Part of the Newbery Law stipulated a removal of musical instruments from saloons and wine rooms. This was rarely enforced. And Father Coffey found himself reassigned to another parish all of a sudden. There was a lot of power in the district, and you know, he got a little bit too vocal about it.
Jazz Unlimited, and our tribute to the late Trey Petitioner. We heard a ragtime nightmare played by Milton Kaye on piano in the 1970s. Then Trey Petitioner talked about Scott Joplin. Then we heard Scott Joplin piano roll of Maple Leaf Rag recorded in 1899. And then we heard about the Frankie and Johnny legend that took place actually in St. Louis. And then finally, the American Beauty Rag, the 1914 piano roll played by Joseph Lamb. We've got a station break, and following the station break, we're going to hear a little bit about W.C. Handy, who was here during this time, and of course, the signature tune for St. Louis Blues, was written by him, but it wasn't the first blues published. The first blues published, by the way, was Baby Seal Blues by Artie Matthews from here. Then we will hear a James Scott piano roll recorded in 1906 with Frog Legs Rag. And then we're going to talk about the ragtime that wasn't at the World's Fair. Scott Joplin will play the Cascades. Graber will talk about improvisation. And then finally, Charlie Thompson will play Lily Rag.
Andy talked about coming through here in 93 and stayed for very briefly on Chargy Street and then went on to Chicago, as a lot of musicians did for the World's Fair that year in Chicago. Yeah, those Handy tunes are published earlier than a lot of people realize, 1914. Memphis Blues was published in 1912, and they were originally marketed as rags. Of course, we don't recognize Yellow Dog Blues as a rag, but it was published as Yellow Dog Rag because this was the ragtime era. They were marketed as blue rags or ragtime blues, and then, of course, that's all forgotten today, but the original editions have ragtime on the cover, even St. Louis Blues. Time players, it was good because it gave them more opportunities to work that year, and most of the players found a job on the Pike, which is a tremendous entertainment area, the midway area of the fair. Ragtime was not an official part of the fair. The legend is that the city fathers were afraid that ragtime would overrun the fair. There persists a legend that Scott Joplin played at the World's Fair. There's really no evidence of that. But he did, of course, write the Cascades in commemoration of it. But about as close to authentic ragtime as got on the fair docket was, let's say, Sousa playing Cakewalks. That's about as close as it got. But most of the ragtime was kind of underground. You know, the players were on the Pike. The Rosebud was buzzing. It was good for the musicians that year. Thank you. I think the earliest days of ragtime, it was definitely a performer's art, and there was a lot of improvisation going on. There's one player who recorded late in life. His name was Bruin Campbell. He was known as the Ragtime Kid, and he palled around with Scott Joplin. Late in life, he recorded some tunes the way he played them in St. Louis and Sedalia, and there's a lot of improvisation and a surprising amount of blues influence in his music, and I think it evolved into a written music for the piano because the piano was the hottest instrument around at the turn of the century. Everybody had a piano, and there was a market for sheet music that was incredible. It's like videotapes today and records. You know, people bought sheet music in those days.
This is Jazz Unlimited, and we heard a set of things. Frogleg's Rag by James Scott, a piano roll in 1906. Scott Joplin, piano roll of the Cascades, written for the World's Fair in 1904. And then Charlie Thompson on piano and Bill McCall on drums did the Lily Rag in 1949. The rest of this hour is going to be concerned with hearing Traber Tichenor's own music. So here's a composition of his called Pierce City Rag from an early 1970s recording. Then we're going to hear one of the early recordings of the St. Louis Ragtimers with Kansas City Stomps, Traber Tichenor on piano, Al Stricker banjo, and Don Franz tuba, recorded in 1962 at Graham Chapel on the campus of Washington University. And then finally, we will hear a 1993 recording of Traber Tichenor's from a stomp-off CD called Tempus Ragorum, and the composition is called Distant Lights, a Remembrance. That will be coming your way right here on Jazz Unlimited's tribute to Traber Tichenor. Please stay tuned.
Thank you.
Dennis Owsley, and that was a set of three featuring the late Traber Tichenor. The first one was Pierce City Rag, solo piano recorded in the early 1970s. Then Kansas City Stomps, recorded by the St. Louis Ragtimers of Traber Tichenor on piano, Al Stricker banjo, and Don Franz tuba in 1962 at Graham Chapel. And then finally, Distant Lights, a remembrance, a Traber Tichenor piano solo in 1993. We've got three new recordings by St. Louis musicians in the next hour, so please stay tuned. Now we're going to have a station break, and following the break, we're going to hear Waiting for the Robert E. Lee, the St. Louis Ragtimers in 1963, Traber Tichenor on piano, Al Stricker banjo, Don Franz tuba, Bill Mason cornet, and Ed Freund on drums. And then we will hear two piano solos, Cottonwood Rag from the early 70s and The Vintner's Dream from 1993. Right here on Jazz Unlimited.
Teacher, have you been down there? Were you around there? If you ever go there, you'll always be found there. Now what dog gone? Here comes my baby on the good ship, Robert E. Lee. Now won't you see them shuffling along? Now see them shuffling along. Now take your best gal, your real pal. Go down on the levee. I said the levee. Thank you.
I'm Dennis Owsley, and that set of three concludes Keys and Strings Hour and our tribute to the late Traber Tichenor. The first one was Waiting for the Robert E. Lee, recorded in 1963 with Traber and the St. Louis Ragtimers. Then we heard Cottonwood Rag and The Vintner's Dream, both Traber Tichenor piano solos from the early 1970s and from 1993, respectively. Please stay tuned for new music in the second and third hours following the station break, and we will have three new recordings from St. Louis artists. So please stay tuned.